My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, it is my peace, and I give it to you.
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
You might have seen the story. I'm looking here at the headline from NBC News. Scholars reveal how they scrambled to authenticate Gospel of Judas. You've heard about the Gospel of Judas. It's this, well, now they say, genuinely authenticated to be an ancient document that tells a slightly different story than the four canonical Gospels that we are familiar with in the New Testament. Now, when they say they authenticated it, what does that mean? And then I guess, how do you go about authenticating an allegedly ancient document like this? Joining us to talk about the Gospel of Judas, a little bit of an update, Dr. Craig Evans is Distinguished Professor of New Testament at Acadia Divinity College in Canada. He's author of several books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence, and Fabricating Jesus, How Modern Scholars Distort the Gospels. Dr. Evans, thank you very much, and thanks for joining us again.
Well, you're very welcome, Todd. Good to be with you.
When we read the word authenticated, should we conclude, since it's been authenticated by various methods we'll discuss here in a moment, that Christians ought to take the Gospel of Judas seriously?
Well, not really, but what authenticate means is that we're talking about a text that actually is ancient. We're talking about a document from antiquity. We're not talking about a hoax. And a very good example of the latter was the snafu last summer and fall. You might remember that papyrus fragment, also written in Coptic, just like the Gospel of Judas, and it was dubbed the Gospel of Jesus' Wife. Well, it turned out it's not ancient, it's a modern fake. So what's been released in the news in the last few days is just an update on the story that actually took place a decade ago when scholars were in a tight window and were working on a text, and National Geographic Society wanted to publish it. It had invested a lot of money in the research that went into it, piecing it back together. Naturally, they wanted to determine that it really was an ancient text. And so the National Geographic Society did the right thing and conducted a series of tests of the ink, also carbon-14, to make sure the material truly was from antiquity. All of the tests pointed in the same direction. The Codex Chaikos, that's the name of it, really does date to about the year 300, maybe a little bit later. So we're talking about an honest-to-goodness ancient text. But whether or not it tells us anything about the historical Jesus and his disciples, that's another question.
Describe, if you would, just the document, its physical characteristics. How is it written? You mentioned the word codex there. And then get to the issue of, if you would, to the ink that is so crucial for dating something like this.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's a codex is what we call a very old book. It actually has folded pages. It is bound. Sometimes on the outside there's leather or something like that, so it more or less looks like a modern book. The paper is papyrus, and that's actually where we got the word paper. It's just strips of a reed sliced up into strips, pasted together, kind of like a placemat. The pages are then trimmed and sewn together, and there you have a book. And then we have writing on the front side, back side of each page, just like in a modern book. Of course, it's handwritten. It's not typed. So the way we date it, we can date the antiquity of the papyri because it used to be living. It has carbon in it. The half-life process known as carbon-14 can determine, give or take 40, 50 years, its age. And the testing of the ink, of course, proves that it wasn't modern ink applied to ancient papyrus. And that's how, you know, some hoaxes take place. The paper itself is actually quite old, but the ink that's been applied perhaps has been applied in recent times. So they test the chemical compounds that make up the ink to make sure it's genuine. They look for the presence of isotopes that would indicate that it's post-World War II, that is after the development and use of the atomic bomb. So there are ways of determining if it's a hoax, if we can test it. So the Gospel of Judas and the codex in which it was found passed all the tests. It's one of four documents in this codex. We don't have all of the pages. A few of them are missing. We have about 85 to 90% of the Gospel of Judas itself. So it really is an ancient text. So in that sense, it's genuine. But again, the real question that remains is, does it really tell us anything new about the Jesus of history and his disciples?
So let's talk about the content with that. So we have this document purports to speak of Jesus. Why is it generally termed the Gospel of Judas?
Well, it actually calls itself that. We have the title of it written at the end, and sometimes books in antiquity did that. When it got to the very end, it signs off, as it were. And in the Coptic language, and this Coptic uses the Greek alphabet, so if you don't know Coptic or Greek very well, you look at it and you think it's Greek, but it's actually Coptic, which is the Egyptian language. It borrows a lot of Greek words, and it actually concludes by saying the Gospel of Judas, and that's the way it ends. It's right there at the last line. It's right in front of me, photographs of it as I speak, and that's how it concludes. So there's no doubt that that's its name. And we also have a church father, Irenaeus, writing around the year 180 A.D., and he actually refers to a gospel that a certain group was using, and he says it's called the Gospel of Judas. And he goes on to describe it in a way that suggests that he really was talking about the very document that was found in a burial cave in Egypt back in the 1970s, the document that we're now talking about.
Does it represent in any way, in your opinion, given its contents, does it represent in any way, you said anything new, but anything genuine? Does it, I know it purports to, but in your opinion, if laid beside the canonical Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how far does it deviate from that? How does it present Jesus differently?
Oh, it presents Jesus differently at almost every level. For one thing, it shows Jesus mocking Judaism, the Jewish faith, laughing at his disciples. No serious scholar thinks that this document gives us any new insight, any new information that's genuine, any truth whatsoever regarding Jesus and his disciples and Judas. I think really what it is it's a satire. It's written from a Gnostic point of view in the second century. It's critical of the great church, or what we now would call the Orthodox Church. It's critical of the apostolic preaching that places great value on Jesus' death on the cross. What it does is it says that the real Jesus, the spiritual Jesus, left the body of the human being that he was wearing a human like a garment, and simply predicted that Judas would be a worse villain than the other disciples. The other disciples are villains because, like Jews, they sacrifice animals at the temple. And Judas will do even worse than the rest of them. He will sacrifice the human being that Jesus is temporarily borrowing. So then the spirit of Jesus ascends, enters the luminous cloud, and Judas does exactly as Jesus predicted. He hands the human being, the temporary Jesus, as it were, over to the ruling priests, and they put him to death, and Judas is paid money. And so that's really what it is. It's in some ways, it's a typical Gnostic different telling of the Jesus story, and most scholars recognize it for what it is, a complete revision of the second century, and has no basis for any kind of claim to being genuine history whatsoever.
So then, with only a minute here, Dr. Evans, it sounds like it's a polemic, maybe a late second century polemic against the canonical faith, but if you're studying Gnosticism, to know what Gnostics believed, here you go. It's a really good example.
Todd, you put it perfectly. It's a polemic. That's exactly what it is. And if you want to know about Gnosticism in the second century, if you want to know what Irenaeus was talking about, then this work was a great discovery, and it's very valuable in that sense.
Dr. Craig Evans is a distinguished professor of New Testament at Acadia Divinity College in Canada, author of several books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence, and Fabricating Jesus, How Modern Scholars Distort the Gospels. You can find out more about these resources at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Evans, thank you very much for being our guest again.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
When we come back, we've got Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. straight ahead on this Thursday afternoon, the 11th of April. We're going to go to one of the more familiar passages, one of the more familiar chapters of the Gospel of John. John chapter 10, Jesus saying, I am the Good Shepherd. Pastor Ben Ball, Pastor Larry Bean will be our pastor's roundtable. Now, we're giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to a listener with the best question or comment during our Pastor's Roundtable Hour on this Thursday afternoon. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page and leave a question or a comment there for our Pastor's Roundtable coming up in about 5 minutes. Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, coming off of that interview with Dr. Evans, I want to remind you that you can hear an entire series that we did with Dr. Evans on biblical archaeology, spanning the entire subject of biblical archaeology at 7 Central tonight at issuesetc.org. That's 7 Central tonight, an entire series with Dr. Craig Evans on biblical archaeology at issuesetc.org.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.